Okay, so Parshas Pinchas really is a continuation of last week's parasha. Pinchas at the end of last week's parasha kills Zimri and calls him Basur. And this week's parasha, Hashem says to Moshe, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Koyein, Heshiv es Chamosi, he took away my anger from Bnei Yisrael, V'goy Chilisi es Bnei Yisrael b'kenasi. It says in last week's parasha, in Perichofei Pasuk Vav, he says, Ish mi b'nei Yisrael ba, and he brought in front of everybody the Midianis, V'heima v'ichim Pesach Ayom Ayed. And they were crying by the entrance of the Ayom Ayed. So Rashi tells us, why were they crying? V'heima v'ichim. Says Rashi, why were they crying? Nes'amo mimenu halacha. The halacha was hidden from him. They forgot the halacha. Of kol ha'boya aramis kanayim poigim boy. They forgot the halacha. So go kulam b'vichia. They all started to cry. They cried because they forgot the halacha. Say over a story. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef was the first and only chief rabbi of New York City.
His last speech.
New York Times is Shabbos. Choftal.
Yeah?
Yeah. Choftal Thomas.
Great story.
Okay. Okay, so you know the story already?
No, go ahead. It's okay.
So when he was a very older, towards the end of his days, he was very sick. He had a hard life. Being the chief rabbi in New York City was not an easy, job. And as much as he had good intentions and people had good intentions, but, it didn't work out too well.
And very nice to say, very nice to say the way you say it. It was,
It's an understatement. At the end of his life, he became sick, and it was Rosh Hashanah time, Shabbat Shuvah, and he had a refuah, he was doing better, and he asked to speak to say a Shabbat Shuvah to Rosh Hashanah, he wanted to speak. And people came from far and wide to hear him speak. And he got up to speak, was quiet, and he started off, his shteit in Rambam, it says in Rambam, and he was quiet. And the oil is waiting, quiet, and he's not continuing. And it's quiet. And suddenly, Rabbi Yosef starts crying, bitter tears, he starts crying. And if I have this Russian ride, he said, "Du weißt, was es meint. Do you know what it means? Vergessen a Rambam, for the Igli from Volozhin. Do you know what it means? He was called the Igli from Volozhin. Do you know what it means for the Igli from Volozhin to forget a Rambam? Do you know what that means?" And he was crying because he forgot the Rambam. All the tzaras that he had, he didn't break down. What at the end, why he cried Barabbim, he broke down Barabbim because he forgot a Rambam. But he was lifted that year, Choftal Tammuz, which is the Shabbos, is his yahrzeit. But to forget a Rambam, to cry for forgetting a Rambam, that's a very high madriga. Heima boichim, go kulam bevchia. They cried, they forgot the halacha, they cried. We forget a Gemara, we forget a Mishnah. No problem. I'll learn it next time around. I learned it already. Chazora, we have to chazor over. The only way to remember what we learn is chazora. What does the Gemara tell us? Whoever learns and doesn't chazor, doesn't review, it's like one who plants, he doesn't cut, he doesn't harvest the crap. One who just learns, a person has to go over, has to review. So I know many times people say that for Yomi it's very hard to chazor. Because it's a blot a day, you're ready to the next blot before you finish the last blot. It's true, you're right, it's hard to chazer. But it doesn't mean that we can't, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't. As much as we can, a person should try to chazer over to review. If I can't, we see how people took so seriously when they forgot that we weren't. If it would bother us so much when we forget, we would take our chazor a little more seriously. Pasuk Perichofei Pasuk Yudbeis, Hashem says to Moshe, therefore tell Pinchas, I'm going to give to him my bris of Shalom. So the Medrash Rabbah brings down that the dinhu she yavoi Pinchas v'yitol schar. It's only proper, it's only appropriate that Pinchas should come and take his schar. Pinchas deserves his schar. The Ben Ishchai says over a beautiful moshul. What do you mean by dinhu that Pinchas deserves his schar? It's a beautiful marshal. The king once went hunting out in the forest. And of course, the king doesn't travel alone. He had with him his generals, his soldiers, and the king is traveling out in the forest, and a band of robbers attack. They attack the king. The general doesn't hesitate for a second. The general pulls out a sword, and he goes right after the robbers, and he saves the king's life. The king thanks the general very much, gives him a small token, a small reward, and they return home. A while later, the king is back in the forest again. But this time, the general couldn't go with him, so the king had with him just his butler and a servant. He didn't have any general or soldiers with him. And the robbers attack, again robbers attack him. And this time, there's no general to protect him. So the butler, who's not a trained soldier, quickly grabs the king's sword, and he runs after the robbers, and is able to save the king's life. When they come back to the palace, the king makes a whole ceremony, and he rewards the butler tremendous rewards, tremendous treasures. And his advisors say to the king, we don't understand, it's not fair. When the general saved your life, you just gave him a small token of your appreciation, you gave him a small reward. And when the butler saved your life, you rewarded him with the royal treasures. Why the difference? And the king said, don't you understand? Don't you realize? The general was trained to fight. The general's job is to protect me. He was only doing his job. The general was doing his job. He gets a thank you for doing his job. He's paid for doing his job. The butler, his job is to go ahead and to serve, to take care of the food and the drinks. His job is not to use a sword. He didn't even have his own sword. He had to grab my sword and use it. The butler went against his nature. The butler went above and beyond his expectations, what he was expected to do. And he went ahead and fought off the robbers. For that he deserves a great reward. It says the Pasuk, who was Pinchas? Pinchas was Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKayin. Who was Aaron HaKayin? Oyev Shalom, Raydev Shalom. Aaron was one who ran after peace.
General.
The Pasuk tells us that when Aaron died, all of Klal Yisrael cried. Because Aaron brought Shalom to everybody. Between Ben Ishu Ishtoi, Ben Adam HaChaveroi. Aaron was Oyev Shalom, Raydev Shalom. You know what Pinchas was? He was Ben Aaron. He was a man of peace, a man of Shalom. The Pinchas to go ahead, the Kanoi is Kenasi Ben Yisrael. The Pinchas to go ahead and to take out his sword, his spear, to go ahead and defend Hashem's honor, to stand up in defense of Hashem. That was, so to speak, against Pinchas' nature. It took tremendous kaiches, tremendous inner kaiches from Pinchas, more than he was accustomed to do. Therefore, Pinchas was deserving of the schar. Only within, it's only right that Pinchas deserves the schar. Because Pinchas, so to speak, went against his nature, and Pinchas stood up in honor to defend the kanois of Hashem. Tachas asher kinei le'lekol v'yechaper al b'nei Yisrael. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'hoysu lo'y l'zaray acharav bris kuhunas oylam. It'll be for Pinchas and his children afterwards the bris of kuhuna. Tachas asher kinei le'lekol. Because he stood up, he was jealous in honor of Hashem, by Yechaper al B'nai Yisrael. And he bought a kapara on B'nai Yisrael. So everybody knows Pinchas Zeliyo. Pinchas Zeliyo Anovi. Okay, what exactly that means is another discussion. Pinchas Zeliyo Anovi. Eliyo Anovi is the Malach HaBris. Eliyo Anovi comes to every bris. The Novi Malachim tells us that Eliyahu Navi complained to Hashem that the Yidden were not careful in the mitzvah of Bris Milah, not keeping Bris Milah, as a punishment or as an answer. Hashem said to Eliyahu, you're going to have to go to every Bris. You're going to be the Malach that has to go to every Bris, and you're going to see with your own two eyes that B'nai Yisrael are mekayim the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And Eliyahu comes to every single Bris. And the Medrash brings down that Eliyahu said to Hashem, 1 minute, I'm a kanoi. My life is always kanois. Eliyahu was always the one who spoke harshly, and he was a kanoi. He says, how can I go to a bris? Perhaps the Avi HaBen does Averis. Perhaps the father of the baby did Averis, and I can't stand to be together in the same room with a Baal Avera. So Hashem says, you know what? I'll be Meichel, the father of the Ben. I'll be Meichel, the father of the Shah. Meichel was Averis. So Eliyahu said, but maybe the Moyel is a Baal Avera. Maybe the Sandik is a Baal Avera. Hashem says, you know what? I'll be Meichel the Moyel. I'll be Meichel the Sandik. But what about all the other people in the room? People come to a bris. All the people are standing in the room. Maybe they are Bali Aveda. So Hashem said, I'll be Meichel everybody. Everybody who's there by the bris, I'll be Meichel them, and this way Eliyahu HaNavi could come to the bris. This is a side point. If you have a chance to go to a bris, it's a worthwhile investment. Even though it may take a few minutes away in the morning, but it's a worthwhile investment. Medrash says that the Aveiros are forgiven if you go to a bris. It's a good deal. It's a good deal. Go to a bris. So the Bnei Yisroel says, others say the same idea that's hinted to in this pasuk. The famous children of bris, even though bris means a bris kahuna, bris also is a remez to a bris milah. Tachas ashtine le'rekov. Because Pinchas Eliyahu was a kanoi to Hashem, as a result of his being a kanoi, vayichaper al b'nei Yisrael. Hashem is mechaper b'nei Yisrael. With every bris, Eliyahu comes, Hashem has to be mechaper everybody, or else Eliyahu Novi refuses to come to a bris. But because he complained that b'nei Yisrael were not careful in bris milah, his sentence, so to speak, was that he has to come and witness Klal Yisrael by every single bris. But it's a schus. Besides the mitzvah, of course, the person has a various forgiven when he's zeichet to go to a, he's zeichet to a bris. The pasuk says later on, the Bnei Sulofcha came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Bnei Sulofcha present their case. They want to have a Yerushan Eretz Yisrael. Perichav Zayin, pasuk Aleph, all the way through to pasuk Yud Aleph. It's the whole parsha of Yerusha. But the Ravna Bnei Sulofcha, and they come before Moshe, before Laz HaKayim, before the Nesim, and they start off a whole drasha. Avinu meis b'midbar, our father died in the midbar, for who lo hayo b'saycha eda. He wasn't part of the eda, hanei odma Hashem, that gathered against Hashem, adas Kairach, by the congregation of Kairach. He wasn't part of Kairach's group. Ki v'chetay meis, so Ravcha died for his own aveira. He was the Mekoshesh, Machoikis, what aveira he exactly did, he was Mechal Shabbos. The Gemara says he did it L'taiva, because he wanted people to see the seriousness of Chilul Shabbos, what the punishment was. Like one shita, they had a cheshbin that Chilul Shabbos didn't apply in the midbar. He wanted to prove to Bnei Yisrael that Chilul Shabbos applied in the midbar, and he did it with a proper, good cheshbin. L'maisa was still Chilul Shabbos, but he died for his own aveiro, v'anim lo hayoloi. So l'ma yigara, shem avin mitech mishpachtoi. Why should our father's name be lost, take away from his mishpacha, give us a Yerusha amongst our brothers. Vayakrev Moshe es mishpaton ufnei Hashem. Moshe seems was stuck. Moshe didn't know what to do, so he presents the case to the entire to Hashem. Say was story with the Menachas Chinuch. Menachas Chinuch also had certain periods in his life were difficult periods, and when he became the Rav in this big city, he became the Rav. It seems there was a lot of behind the scenes discussion, friction, whether he should be the Rav or not. After he was appointed the Rav, one of the members of the city comes to visit Menachas Chinuch, and he says to him, Rabbi, I want you to know I was on your side. There were such fights here. If you should be the Rabbi, they had elections and the people voted, things don't change, but I want you to know, Rabbi, I stood up for you and I really defended you. And I was on your side, and I'm glad to see that you won, and you're the rabbi. Menachas Chinuch looks at him and says, okay, Yashikayach. Okay, thank you very much, Yashikayach. A few days later, two people come to Menachas Chinuch for Din Torah. And one of the people is the one who came to him at the very beginning and said, Rabbi, I was the one who defended you, I was the one who was able to arrange for you to be the Rav. So Menachas Chinuch takes one look and he says, I'm possible for this Din Torah. I can't be the Dayan, because since you spoke favorably, a little flattery, it's a sheikhad, I'm afraid I'll be influenced, and therefore I can't be the judge, I can't be one of the judges on this case. And Menachas Chinuch said, I'll bring you a raya from Chumash if this is true. We find in Pashas Pinchas, by the Bnei Tzulafchad, what happened. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say, what's the din? Our father had no sons, only daughters. Why should we lose out? Let's have Yerusha. And suddenly Moshe doesn't know what to do. But Yakrib Moshe. Moshe didn't know Hilchas Yerusha. Moshe learned Kol HaTorah Kula. How did Moshe not know Hilchas Yerusha? He didn't know the whole din of Yerusha. We forgot. Happened. So the Menachas Chinuch, you know what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to remove himself from the case. Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he was possible to be the dying. Because a few psukim ago, what did they tell him? They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Avinu meis b'midbar. our father Tzurofcha died in the Midbar. For who Hoyam is Seicha Eda? He wasn't from Kairach Eda. He wasn't those that ganged up against you, against Hashem. The Chetay Meis, he did his own Chet, he was on Aveira. He was with you. He wasn't with Kairach. Moshe heard that. He said, I can't be a judge because even those small words have an effect and they look favorably upon Bnei Tzurofcha because of what they said. Okay, nice little story. But the lesson is so powerful. We are so affected by what's around us. So affected by what we see, what we hear, what we do. We don't realize it. A little word, a little action, whatever it is, we're affected by it. And we think nothing happened. It might be so subtle, but we're affected by what we see. A person has to be careful what he sees, what he does, because whatever a person is, the environment has an effect on a person. And no matter how sure a person is of himself, Chazal always tell us, don't trust yourself until the Yom HaMisa, because a person never knows. Yechinon Klein Gadol was Klein Gadol for 80 years, and then he went off, became a tzeduki at the end. A person never knows. A person is very careful that no matter what it is, realize they could be influenced. And therefore, the more a person stays in the Beis HaKnesses, or Beis HaMedrash, the more a person is affected with Taiva, it affects him for good, and it has an effect on him even during the rest of the day when he's outside. The Pasuk tells us by Yerusha, Ish ki yomos uvein einoi, if a man dies and he has no sons, then his Yerusha goes over to his daughters, Pasuk Hei, Perichav Zayin, Pasuk Hei. And Hashem teaches Moshe all the dinim of Yerusha. The son has kadima, there's no son, then the daughter, there's no daughter, then the brothers, if no brothers, it goes to the uncles, the whole Seder, Ha Yerusha, Mesechta Bava Basra, Yeshnaicha. There was once a story that happened. There was a shchimira, a man who was deathly sick, and his wife was expecting a child. And in his will, he wrote the following. He said like this, if my wife gives birth to a boy, then the boy should take two-thirds of the Yerusha, two-thirds of my property, and my wife should take one-third. If my wife gives birth to a daughter, then my wife should take two-thirds of the Yerusha, and the daughter should take only one-third. That was his cheshbon. That was what he wrote. Said it over to two eidim, validated. That was his tavor. If his wife gives birth to a son, two-thirds should go to the son, a third to his wife. If the wife has a girl, two-thirds to the wife, one-third to the daughter. And what do you think happened? She had twins, a boy and a girl. So now
she gets nothing.
So now they don't know what to do. If he specifies,
God gets nothing.
If he specifies beforehand. If he specifies beforehand, he can specify a divine of the Yerusha. And he specifies, he has a daughter, this should happen. He has a son, this should happen. How do they divide up his Yerusha? How do you divide up the Yerusha between the wife, the son, does the daughter get? Does the son get everything? I don't know who was first. He didn't say. He said his wife, he says, if his wife gives birth, obviously from this pregnancy, and she gave birth to a son and a daughter. So they went to Reb Chaim Brisker. Now listen to this goyness. Chaim Brisker heard the story, and he said like this, we have to follow his tzavah, a shchimira, what he said, with the Chaim. And he said, two-thirds to the son, a third to the wife, and a daughter, two-thirds to the daughter, a third to the wife. It's obvious that he wanted to give to the son twice as much as he gave to the wife. Two-thirds to the son, one-third to the wife. It's also obvious that he wanted to give to the wife double what he gave to the daughter. Two-thirds to the wife, and a third to the daughter. So he wanted to give the son double what he gave the wife, and the wife double what he gave the daughter. So Chaim Brisk, if that's the case, divide the property into seven portions, give the son four-sevenths, the wife gets two-sevenths, and the daughter gets one-seventh. And the cheshbon works out. The son got double the wife, he gets 4/7 and she gets 2/7, and the wife gets double the daughter, 2/7 and 1/7. Okay, it's not a good idea to go ahead and make these conditions when it comes to Yerusha. But Lamaisa, the Torah gives us a seder of Yerusha Halafalth. If a person on his own decides to make his own Tanoim, we have to figure out in each case how to divide up the Yerusha. At the end, the Torah goes through all the Yomim Tovim. We go through the whole year, Kamat Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Pesach, and the Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos. By Yom Kippur, we know v'osel achodesh hashvii v'inisim es nafshei seichem. On the 10th day of Tishrei, we fast a tainus. And we know the Gemara tells us, Mazutra tells us, that the ikar schar of a tainus, the ikar reward for fasting, is not the fasting itself, but it's a tztaka that a person gives to the ani. The tztaka that a person gives to the ani, that's the ikar of a tainus. It's not so much the fasting, but rather the schar is for the tztaka that a person gives to an ani. And Dumno Magid sends over a beautiful, beautiful motion. There was once a wealthy man sitting in his house late at night. He just ate a good supper, and he's sitting, relaxing late at night. It's cold outside, and there's a knock on the door. His servant goes to answer the door. There's a poor man standing by the door. "Please, I'm hungry. I didn't have anything to eat. I need some food." And the usher asks, "Who's by the door?" And the servant says, "Some poor man wants food." The usher says, "It's late at night. Tell him to go away." What kind of nerve does he have knocking on the door so late at night? Tell him to go away. And the ani walks away, hungry, without any food. The next day happened to be a fast day. The next day was a tainus. Happened to be a fast day. And the usher, of course, is an Elach Yid. He fasts the entire day. He sits down at night after the fast is over to eat, to break his fast. And as he starts to eat, he says to his servant, "You know, remember that ani that was here last night? Go out into the street and find that ani and invite him back. I want him to eat with me tonight. Go into the street, find the ani, bring him back. I want him to eat together with me tonight." Okay? The boss says, the servant goes out and he finds the ani. He brings the ani back and they sit him down by the table and they give him a 7-course meal and the ani eats and eats. After the ani finishes eating, he says to the usher, "I hope you don't mind my asking, but what changed? 24 hours ago I came knocking on your door and you threw me out. It's too late. You didn't give me any food to eat. And now 24 hours later, not only didn't I come to you, but you came running after me. What happened?" And the usher smiles and he says, "Because today I fasted. Last night I couldn't feel your pain. Last night I couldn't feel that you were hungry because I just ate. I was full. And you came knocking on the door so late at night, all I thought about was myself. I'm tired, it's late, what kind of nerves do you have knocking on the door? But today I fasted, I felt hungry. And I realized, now I understand what the ani felt like. I realized what you felt like. And then when I realized what the ani felt like, I said, call him in, come meet with me, because now I was able to feel for you." The ikar schar v'tainus is not so much the fasting. It's the tzedakah that we give to the ani. It's helping out the ani. When it comes to helping other people, everybody wants to help. Everybody wants to do good. But a lot of times we're held back because we can't feel for the other person. We can't feel the situation that he's in. Joseph Chazal tells us, don't judge your friend until you reach his place, until you're in his place. You can't judge somebody until you're in the same situation. You can't feel a person's pain, a person's sorrow, until you're in his situation. Every person has his own parasha. Every person deals with it his own way. To feel for somebody else takes tremendous emotions, tremendous feelings. We're not always on the level to feel for somebody else. People who ask for a chesed, a person has to try to rise above that. A person has to try to feel for somebody else and say, "You know, that person really needs it. Imagine if I'll be in that situation, how can I help?" Even crying with somebody else, showing him that you care, helps a person and goes a long way. The ikar schar for the tainus is not the fasting itself. It's the care that a person shows to the ani, the tzedakah he gives to an ani, the help that he gives to the ani. Helping out somebody goes a long way. And everybody has times that they need help. Everybody has times where they need somebody to reassure them, somebody to help them along. And when a person does that, it goes a long way. I saw brought down something very interesting this week. If you look at all of the karbonos at the end of the parasha, starting from Pesach and on, all the parashiyos are stumos. We know at the end of each parasha in the Torah, there's a samach or a pei. A samach means the parasha is stuma. What does stuma mean? It's closed. That means when the parasha is written in a sefer Torah, the next parasha starts on the same line. It doesn't start the next line, it starts on the same line, so the line is closed. It doesn't leave the line empty, and the parasha starts, it's on the same line. If there's a pei at the end of a pei means it's psucha, it's open. The rest of the line is open, and the next parasha starts on the next line. New paragraph. Okay. There's a machlokes in Tanakh, the Rambam, Pesukos Tumah, by Tefillin, you have machlokes in how to write the parashiyos. But generally speaking, that's a Pesukha and a Stumah. Stumah means that the line is closed, the next paragraph starts on the same line. Pesukha means the next paragraph starts the next line. If you look at all of the Yom Tovim, they all are Stumahs except for one. After Pesach, it ends in a Samach. After Shavuos, it's a Pei, it's Pesukha. After Rosh Hashanah, a Samach. After Yom Kippur, a Samach. After Sukkot, each day of Sukkot is a separate paragraph, all Samachs. Except for Shavuos. Shavuos is the only Yom Tov that ends with a Pei. The parash is Pesukha. It starts a whole new paragraph in the Sefer Torah. It's written differently than all the others. Between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah is a Pei. Must be a reason why. All the parashas are stumais. I don't have a car for it, but I just saw this quote down. I don't know from whom. It says, Remez, the reason why there's a pay between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah is because that part of the year, that time of year is left open. What falls out between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah? Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av falls out. L'asim L'avoy, what happens? Tisha B'Av will be a Yom Tov. Korah L'Aymoyeh. Tisha B'Av becomes a Yom Tov. So that, yes. Tisha B'Av will be a Yom Tov, yes. We turn into a Yom Tov. We don't say Tachlin Tisha B'Av. You know why? It's a Yom Tov Tisha B'Av. Korah L'Aymoyeh. There's a pay at the end of Shavuos between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah. Psucha. Because that time of year is left open. There's a Yom Tov that's still waiting to fall and to come at that time of the year. That time of year is not closed. All the other times of the year, Stumais, but there's one time of year where the Yom Tov is not yet here. It's still open. And that Yom Tov is Tisha B'Av. And that's why there's a pay between Shavuos and Sukkot, Psucha, because Tisha B'Av will turn into a Yom Tov. That area is open, waiting for that Yom Tov to go into effect. So we just started the 3 weeks, Shivasa B'Tammuz, Beinu Mitzarim. So of course, we have all the halachas, even the 3 weeks, Kol Masaba Yerushalayim, Zaycha V'raya V'nechamasa, Zaycha Tassid V'nechama, Shtaka B'Zaycha, that we should see Tisha B'Av turn into Yom Tov, Korah Lai Moyed, Tisha B'Av this year should be Yom Tov, we should see the Bayis HaShlishim, Heir Yemeinu Amen.